We are calling on our mommy Rita Ekwomo to give us a short talk on love. Praise the Lord. Shall we put our hands together as we call to the podium? Mommy Rita Ekwomo! Is anybody clapping in the house? Is anybody clapping for our Lord Jesus Christ? Is people clapping for our Lord Jesus Christ? Not to man, but to the Lord of Lords. Are we clapping? Praise the Lord.
His gate with thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his court with praise.
Shalom. Shalom, women of Zion. I want to thank God for today. It's always a blessed thing to be in the presence of the Lord. Because where we are now is Mount Zion. We are sitting in heavenly places. We always, I'm talking about myself now. I always cherish a place like this than my bedroom. Because the Bible says, at the right hand there is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Well, I've been told to come and say something about love. Word love. Love. God is love. God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is an embodiment of love. In Him, there is everything about love. But when I'm faced, or whenever anybody is faced with an audience such as this, there's a need to explain that word for better understanding. And I'm here just to do that. I will just break it down as best I can, and the way it can get to you by way of understanding. Now, I started by saying that the word love can be defined as a strong, positive emotion of regard and affection. A word used as terms of endearment, being endeared to somebody. Sometimes it's defined as a deep feeling of, in another segment, sexual desire and attraction. That is why I said in the beginning that the word love is quite wide. But I'm going to narrow myself to the one we are here for today. It also, as a verb, can be described to have a great affection or liking for. There's what you call also agape love. And I'm sure that is the one we are here for. Which is a religious meal, by way of definition, shared as a sign of love and fellowship. Selfless love. Selfless love. That is love that you don't pretend about. It just comes naturally. Of one person for another, without sexual implications. In Christian theology, it is referred to as the love of God or Christ for mankind. I think that's where I started from. Now, when you look at the word love, my beloved sisters, you'll agree with me that it has a lot of attributes. When you say love, it has a lot of attributes. And I will just touch on one or two of these attributes so that we'll have a better understanding. My sister, Mrs. Wonke, she was the one that said something about, for God so loved the world that he gave.
the operative word there is give. For God so loved the world that he gave. And gave who? His only begotten son. Now, for those of us sitting here, including myself, you'll agree with me that even in the scriptures, when Abraham was blessed with Isaac, after so many years of waiting, he was now told to send, he was blessed with Ishmael first, and then Isaac. He was told to send Ishmael away, and he was left with Isaac. That was a painful experience for him. However, after Ishmael left, the Lord came to him again and said, that is Isaac that you have now. I want you to go and sacrifice that child at Mount Moriah. Did Abraham obey or not? Did he complain? Okay. Let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes now. Let's be very practical. If I were the one, no, starting from myself, I will carry the child, but I will cry my eyes out due to unbelief. However, we carry the child to where he says I should carry the child to. But there's be unbelief in my heart, in the sense that I don't know what God wants to do. And if this child dies now, blah, blah, blah. But are you the owner of the child? That's where you have violent faith. Abraham exercised violent faith to be able to just obey. Obey. Don't. But did that child die? That is it. We give God the glory. Now, but Christ, who is the epitome of love? Scripture said, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave Christ to us, to me and you, for our atonement, for our sins. We just give God the glory for that. Now, one of the attributes of love is giving. Giving. Not giving grudgingly or squeezing your face. You give. It is pertinent for us. It is necessary for us who call ourselves Christians. Particularly, I'm so particular about the message we have received. Because the seventh angel message to this day carries with it a different anointing. I'm telling you that because I've been in this message for going to 25 years now. It carries with it a different anointing. Once you believe in that message and exercise yourself in it, I tell you, there is nothing you ask of God that he will not do for you. The flood will come mightily too, but the Spirit of the Lord will always raise a standard against that storm. So, in the final analysis, we are always victorious. In this message, there's a song I have. I'm not going to sing it here. There's a day I'm going to sing it. And on the day I will sing it, I will remind women of Zion that I said there's a song I wanted to sing. Today I will sing it. On that day, I will sing it. And I will refer you to it. Because to let you know that this message we have received, if you watch these doctrinal issues on television, these are debates. I'm always, anytime they are doing it and I'm around, I'm always with my phone and I'm sending my own contributions. And there was one I said that Christianity, what we should exercise by way of believers, it's not churchiality, but Christianity. That is to say, not just, they go to church. I carry Bible when even, some people get Bible when big pass this one. Just they go to church. But your mind is not good. They keep malice. You know, there's a big greet. Person greet yourself now, wahala. To answer you, if you see person wear better clothes, instead make you say, sister, I like you, so you go look at the eye itself, they make me fear. The kind I want to take. If eye they cut person, some people get bad eye. It will just cut you into pieces. So, but in this message, if you say you have received this message, I tell you, sister, you must have the mind of Christ. You must have the totality of the mind of Christ, which is love. And that's what I'm talking about. Love entails giving. Give. Give. It doesn't kill if you give. As you are stretching out your hand to give, you are collecting blessings. But if you continue to do like this, the hand will come, they get shorter and shorter. So there's a need for you to always give. Give. Do not look at anybody as less than yourself. Never. In my home, from the gate, Mano, ask them now. Anybody in the... In fact, they look at me and say, which kind of woman be this? You see me sitting down with them discussing. You come into the house, you won't know which one be madam and which one be cook for inside. You're not going to know which one be... You know, it's that is. I enjoy it. I enjoy fellowship. And as a child of God, you must imbibe these qualities. It is God that promotes you, not yourself. It is God that gave you what you are even going to give now. We came here naked. Is that not correct? And we are going back naked. So why are you holding the thing now? Is it your own? It's not your own. The Lord blesses us according to His infinite wisdom. What He gives to this sister, He may not give to this other one. What He gives to him, so that thing He gives to you or He gave to you, you must always nurture it and bless yourself and bless others with it. So that is the issue of... In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave. Therefore, giving is of God. Indeed, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I also refer to Luke 6:38 and Matthew 16:26. Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That is the word of the Lord. Now if you go to Matthew 16:26. It has this to say, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You have all the Lexus, eh? You have all the houses. You have all the gold. You have all the silver. Where you won't carry and go now? Where you won't carry that thing go? It's sheer foolishness. So we must always give. There are times, eh? Maybe I eat something, somebody not get. I just give unto them. I can't even see somebody wanting and I'm eating that thing. No matter how hungry I am, I must give that thing out. And the moment I give it out, you know what happens, eh? My belly will just full. So who can feel that belly now? The maker of the belly. The giver of that thing. Life is so much vanity, my Lord. I'm calling you my Lord because I thought I'm in the midst of my fellow judges. You know, we call ourselves my Lord. See? So, my sisters, life is vanity. But the moment you try to do things according to God's law, there'll be so much peace around you. Even though fire is burning around you, you find yourself in an air-conditioned room in the Lord. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second attribute of love can be found in John 13:2-17. Of course, most of us here, I know we take communion here regularly. Is that not correct? And that's a popular scripture. Where, let's go to it now. The book of John 13. John 13:2-17. It's a long one. Let me just read it quickly. I would have told one of you to read it. 2 to 17. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into of the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do not knoweth not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And he said in verse 17, If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Do what? Wash one another's feet. That's your pretty thing. If you do them, what is that? Washing. And Christ said in that epistle that he was doing this as an example. What is to wash each other's feet? It doesn't mean I should come to your house and just say, Sister, how are you? Bring your feet. Can I begin to wash your feet? Or you just see me for streets. Sister Pemo, begin to wash my feet. Or maybe as we just come to church, you come where that they sit down. You carry water, they wash feet. That will not work. What is to wash each other's feet? Carry each other's body upon yourself. That's the meaning of it. Love. Love one another. Care for each other's cares. Big man, they broke. Oh, we don't know. Even and then they broke pass. And then they broke pass. Because this one will come. This one will come. Then the people when they come, now they can't reach past you. But shame not go let you talk, say you don't get to. But they will still come, you will still give. So there is something in that thing. It's a mystery. And how now do you have what you give? It's a mystery. And that is of God. But there's a blessing that goes with giving. There's a blessing that goes with washing each other's feet. Please, you must always carry each other's concerns. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Particularly those of you that are comme ci, comme ça, like the French people would say. If you are able to, if you have the enablement to help your neighbor. No, you see, let me tell you, I had an uncle. He was so vain, man. That man, he had big transporter in, Benin. Big, maybe you have heard of JBS. Big transporter. The man had SS, he had transports and everything. But you know, he does not have an air conditioner in his big office. I said, brother, uncle, what? He said, what are they taking? I do malaria, I go kill him. If in there, he's stinginess, so. Not the malaria, anything. Nobody goes to him and he gives him any kobo. He go they hide him, team. Go they hide them. The children, you know, go pay their school fees. All the wives go they work out with a leg. Himself, the Mercedes when they use. Now the old model owned of Mary Slessor. Mercedes. Push me, I push you. The first model before maybe I was born, I don't know. Now that man was using them. So he was so vain. Calling money, millions, billions. You know what he kill him? Appendix. And stinginess, now he even make him die. Because He had this appendix. Appendix is a very simple operation if you know where to go. My brother, there are many good hospitals in Benin. He went to a quack doctor. So make you just remove this thing, I bet they pay me. That one quack him for him now. Quack him, put infection where. And the man died. Just like that. A very important wealthy man in Benin died like cockroach. That's how he died. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? All in wives. And I'm sorry, go they marry. I'm not going to look after them. But millions. They say, go wait for money. Bank manager, how are you? I look into that account number. So how much do I have? The doctor will say, you have about 500 million. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. He will carry a phone. He will phone another manager for another bank. So those were gods. He was happy with all those things. But he was not giving to anybody. He wouldn't help. He was just vain. And see the way he died. Okay? He carried that money, go now. Alright. Now when he died, 2 years ago I was in London. And a cousin of mine who is a lawyer, I was in his house. I went to have dinner with the family. Then he is also a lawyer. He's a lawyer to the late man. The late man was my uncle, my cousin. Then he said, Rita, can you see the way this man just died like cockroach? I said, it's what he wants. I said, do you know that he has about 5 in shares alone? He has about 350 million. In one bank, he has about 900 million. In another bank, he has 200 something million. He said, that's what they have just discovered. I said, brother, I beg, carry the money, come give, make I go give to the poor. And the thing where he wants to be that. So the man was wondering, how can? And he could not even live well. That one in a home trouble. That's a man who was vain. And he left it. Got not to get him. So I admonish you, sisters, that there is the need to wash each other's feet. You must always do that. Try to do that. If your sister has a problem, everything is not about money is not everything. You can always advise, counseling. There are ways you advise that will help the person. Not just, hey, I beg, I'm not getting time, I beg. You know, everybody, I get your own problem. That's not your own problem, me get my own problem. You don't do that to a sister. In this message or outside the message, you must exude love all the time by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you also are conversant with the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. That also can be seen in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 30, starting from verses 26 to 30, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody see the man for ground, the waka. Another one see a waka. But when the good neighbor came, who had love, who had heart for Christ and for his neighbor, that man even made a difference. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You also see the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 11. There is, I watch Bright TV a lot. Anytime I'm chance, even in my study at home, as I'm writing my judgments, I'm looking at the screen and enjoying the Word of God. And there was something there's this character, something that they show on television about sewing. They just put some caricatures and they are sewing and said something about the church. And there were four words that caught my fancy when anytime I see that clip on our television. It portends that when you sow love, liberation follows, leadership follows, and then you launch. It talks about love, liberate, lead, and launch. All this must be in the church of the living God, that to make the church alive. I also want to direct that to you. Now, as I was writing this thing, the Spirit of the Lord ministered to me. He said, He said, what of words? What of words? He said, mouth. Mouth, oh. Mouth, they kill love. So I quickly wrote it here. No. This mouth, the tongue, I hear, is the smallest organ in the body, but is the most dangerous. It can give life, and it can take life. Anything that you say, if it's not strained, it's like a little light. Where you light it, and you do not restrain it, it can burn a whole city. Even so, the words of your mouth. If you look at Matthew 15:11-20, you can see something about words there. So words are things. You know, words are things. You know what that means? When you say something now, okay, let's take it from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. So, in effect, what that gospel is saying is that spoken word that Christ spoke in the beginning, led there, it took on form. Is that not correct? So, even so, whatever you say, advertently or inadvertently, but we must always try to speak advertently, I beg, as Christians. That is to say, before you say anything, you weigh it first. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead you always before you say anything. And most of the things, one thing that causes that kind of reaction in Christians is the spirit of anger. The spirit of anger. When you are angry, don't let the sun go down it. Either you walk away from the place, let your anger go down, then you find that you rearrange what you are supposed to say. But when you just speak prayer, the thing just, you put a machine, fear, the thing just come out. Ah, that thing when you talk, it has already taken form. It has already taken form. The person when you talk unto, the Bible says when you say raka, now in the New Testament, in the Old, you have to kill first to be guilty of murder. But right now, when you say raka to your brother, or even waka, so people now say waka, whatever, you have killed that person already. You're already guilty of breaking the commandment of thou shalt not kill. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, please, you have to exercise restraint in whatever you say and in whatever, whichever way you put it. When you are angry, you must make sure you exercise restraint. Even if you're angry, not that I'm past 2 minutes. Are they angry? Well. In fact, people just look at me. They don't understand me. They say, this woman, if you see me for court, you know nothing at this woman when I stand here. My eye, they red. Yeah, I say, yes. You're supposed to red because, you know, when God vexed, the way they judgment sit. Yeah, I go red now because he won't judge now. It's the spirit that comes upon you. But the moment when they see me outside, they say, now this woman, are you sure this is Justice Pemo? For court, I know they hear nonsense. The way I want them to be will be like that. So when they come, the lawyers, they say, when they see say they are among the judges that they don't the peaceful, but they say, hey, this woman they here because the kind questions when they fire not to hear. But things must have to be done the right way. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I would say that my sister also touched on that in the book of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, it's a popular scripture for you and I, which talks about, if you like, you have all the wealth in the world. If you like, your voice, when they sing, be like canary. If you like, they prophesy, reach heaven, say, for where Christ is now, go they prophesy for them. If you like, you they pay all the tithes. You know, say the Jews, we they pay tithes from our salary, Those Pharisees and those days, they will pay for the flower when they their compound. If they get television for house, they will pay tithes on them. They will pay for food when they house. That is how righteous they thought they were. But when God came, what did he say about them? He said, you whited sepulchres. Said, you green snake under the green grass. Now the scriptures tells you and I in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 that if you have every virtue that obtains in the Bible that makes you a Christian, if you have all, speaking in tongues, and you do not have what? Charity, which is love. He said you are but a clanking cymbal. And in that verse, the last verse of that 1 Corinthians 13, after enumerating what he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries, both the one in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth, you just know all the mysteries finished. You not even have to open Bible before you could talk them. And you don't have love. What does the Bible say? He said, I am nothing. I hope you are listening to me, sisters. He said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, as we have been talking since about giving, there's a need for you to give. Though you do that, you give even your clothes when you give them to anything when you like, just give them to them. And then for that, your heart, you don't get love. Ah, the Bible says you are nothing. What does love do? In that verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he says it's long suffering. Let me tell you, if you are a real child of God, if I tell you certain things I've experienced in life, you won't believe it. But people see me today and say, madam, you know they're old. What is your... You know, let me tell you, when you try to have a good heart, that itself is medicine, a vitamin for your body. You will sleep well. You don't envy people. You are happy. Even if you don't see food to eat, you are happy. Now, when you have things like that, he said, charity, you have to have long suffering. Make us impress. Come step on your toes. Step. I'm so sorry. Maybe the person make mistake. That's sorry. Take calm. Not to say tomorrow, he say, some people are not happy here, so ask me to hiss. Not they come up from my mouth. When some people hiss today, snake not hiss, but reach them. Did you go, did you not the Greek go there? Say, which guy hiss me this? You will still remember that matching tomorrow when he match you. That's what the Bible is saying. That you must, love is long suffering. That is patience. Love is not proud, it's not puffed up. Yeah, you want proud, the proud go. Now, your shoulder high past God, don't. God that seated on his throne, and looks down at on the earth. Go put leg on top of the earth as a footstool. Now you want. So where is he? He said we are like a drop in the ocean. Before God, we are nothing. Even so, before our human beings, we should be nothing. Now they said love does not gossip, does not strive. Love does not do all these things. And when you drop down to verse 13, which is my conclusion, it says, and now abideth faith. Yes, we may have faith. Hope. Of course we have hope. Charity. Love. These things. He said these three. These three. Faith, hope, charity. There are three of them. Oh. He said, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these three in the eyes of the Lord is charity. Because that word, it embraces everything. If you have love, you will be patient, you will be kind, you will give, you will wash it other's feet, you not go quarrel. You know, when my sister was, when I gave a definition earlier on love feast, and my sister came along and spoke, well, it was then I began to appreciate what she really wanted, because maybe there has been strife in the midst. Maybe there have been problems in the midst. What I'm trying to say in that regard is that there should not be malice amongst us. What in one cousin? Are we not all marrying one husband? Who is Christ? Are you not married to Christ? As all of us are married to Christ now, we are all members in his body. So, we must be united. Is Christ divided? The Bible says no. Christ is not divided. Even so, we his children should not be divided. We should try. This message, when we get it, you cannot buy it with silver or gold. It is priceless. Maybe you don't appreciate it yet. The prophets of old sought to get this understanding which we have now. All is being revealed to us. They didn't have it. Now we are having it on a platter of gold. And Christ said his yoke is easy, light. All he asks is that don't quarrel, my children. Be united. Show love. Love each other. Watch each other's feet. Give. That's what he's asking now. Is that too much? So I hope what I've just said has gone down with you. Yes, it's a very simple thing. We should imbibe love. I love all of you. Christ loves all of you. And I want you all to love me too. I just give God the glory. So be a Christian is a very sweet thing. It's a very, very sweet thing. So, having said this, I want to profess what I have just talked to you about, that I love each and every one of you. And I will love you until he comes. That something that was said here, the drama, you know what God is just saying there? He's only saying that when he comes, we must not be found wanting, but waiting. We must always watch and pray. Wait, because the bridegroom can come at any time. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you very much, sisters, for listening.